Show everybody. This is Zen Ways. And Douglas Newsom, my usual co-host, is in LA today. We dropped him off at the Chico Airport and he flew down there doing some business. So we have someone who's going to join us instead. And you know, I was just thinking about this morning that every show always has, you know, a special guest, and this guy's a special guest, and this guy's a special guest. Now, today, kind of in the spirit of Zen, I wanted to just have, you know, an ordinary guest. How about a guest? You know, I'm just going to have a guest on today since Doug's not here, and, you know, just the guest, any old guest seemed to fit. And one man stepped up, came to mind, and his name, some of you may know him even. It's Donald Newsom. Oh, he's geez.
Zen Ways.
Let me hypnotize you for a moment.
Zen Ways.
Welcome to Earth, everybody. Zen Ways.
Zen
Ways. You're on a planet in outer space.
Zen Ways.
Well, folks, it's good to be here. Thank you, Chris. That was wonderful.
Yeah, my pleasure. And these Sunday afternoons are a good time to be relaxed and to remember humor in the scheme of it all. We've been talking about that a lot lately, how humor comes into play and how you can turn anything into, you know, if anything kind of gets stressful or seems to be, you know, pressing on you a little bit, try turning it to a humorous edge. Sometimes you just got to let go and laugh at the absurdity of life.
You know, I do that a lot lately because, it's something that Jean-Claude Coven said, and that is, and I forget where he got it or who originated it, but maybe he did, I can't remember, but it's life is way too important to take seriously. And it really is that important.
Yeah, you know, if you're taking everything, well, one reason we take things so seriously is because we identify so much of our self-worth or just who we think we are with what we're doing. And in our context in life or the place we find ourselves in the world. And this is why I feel Zen is so important for the Western world. You know, many people came to the West from the East to begin really planting the seeds of what now is a sprout that's coming to bloom, these seeds of Zen, these seeds of deeper wisdom, these seeds of meditation, which takes everything that we have known and have done and sets it free to a higher perspective.
Well, it's exactly realizing that you are much more than what you have around you, who your family is, even your children. You're more than that. You're actually something that's much grander. And that means you don't need to define nor confine yourself. And it allows you to be who you are originally. And yes, it's beautiful.
Yeah, you know, and when people are first introduced to that idea, yeah, that mic stand goes up there on the bottom. That's what I was messing with. When people are first exposed to this concept of where we don't feel like we need to, or you can just hold the mic, where when you start feeling like, well, people think a lot of their meaning in life, it has to do with their relationship, so it feels painful to let that go, or even maybe somehow wrong to say, well, I am free even of, you know, the need for your friendship or the need for what you bring. But when each person gets to that state of freedom within themselves, then each is growing, and then you can share in a whole new way that includes all of what you used to. See, that's the thing, that you're not really giving anything up to give up these old attachments or these old ideas. You're kind of moving them up to the next level of understanding.
Refining. It's a constant refinement, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. To more and more layers of subtlety, and this the ongoing process means we can experience more beauty. You know, beauty is in the subtlety. Is sometimes, I mean, that's one thing that you see in art, in abstract art. That's kind of part of what they're trying to do, is show you a different kind of beauty, one that just is a vague reference but leaves you to fill in the blanks, or just to see your own experience in that magnitude.
You know, that's what I loved about the earlier periods of art, you know, from abstract, romantic period, you know, Baroque period. All of those allowed a lot, you know, especially the Baroque, a lot of space that you could extrapolate. You could create your own, you know.
Well, yeah, if people haven't, you know, if you're a listener out there and you maybe have heard of the Baroque period, but you haven't gone into it or haven't really studied it, I mean, that's one, we can take that and see that as an example of, there was some real high spirituality going on there, some real deep thinking and some real revelation of spirit. I mean, that's why Bach, I mean, in churches all across America and Europe and all around the world, Bach is so much a staple of the repertoire that you hardly even notice it anymore. But there was life before Bach, and that's called pre-Baroque era, you know. But you take figures like Bach, or even, you know, some of the Vivaldi themes, or, you know, Telemann, or these are all throughout our culture, and even in commercials, of course, you know, and we're so familiar with them as part of our language. But when we can look into them in their own time, and we see that these were people, I mean, that's one thing that you need to do with your study in art or music, is kind of look at the people composing it, get back, I mean, because the music kind of suggests a one way of looking at it, but then you also have to remember that there's a real human being there, a person that was on a journey as well. Yeah.
You know, I love that. I would even take it and look at it as this person's music was actually anchoring a vibration, a signature that was now open for all time and accessible by all at all times. And it was anchoring those creations of music and color and sound right here into a very dense construct, I'd have to say. And it's wonderful to see that, because they actually, once these things are imprinted, you know, it's like opening doorways.
Yeah, it really is. It's a revelation of the human spirit. I often talk about Beethoven in this way. I believe on the Creative Cosmos show Monday, I brought that up a little bit, of how Beethoven was bringing so much of that human spirit to the fore, and bringing it to the world, that he's very much a spiritual man. And you can see how artists and musicians and those who bring spirit into form are much in the same lineage, or they do the same work as Jesus or Buddha or the sages through the ages. It's all a way of creativity.
And have you noticed through the ages, from these different areas, the music has become less precise, less mathematical?
Well,
Now, when you look at that, it's not no less creative. It's no less full of emotion and love and everything else. But it has become less, I think, or maybe more abstract. But it just seems to have less of the mathematical precision.
Well, I think one reason for that is you can see, this is one thing with the works of Arnold Schoenberg, the German composer from the early 20th century, and those of the Second Viennese school, such as Weber and Berg, and then later people who continued in these lines, such as Boulez. But they took music to the mathematical direction to the max.
You know, they
already kind of did that. So and part of their philosophy, you know, so people kind of, if they go to a concert and they hear this music, if they're listening to it in kind of a tuneful way, they're not quite listening to it in the right context, because it's almost a philosophical statement. It's bringing music, it's taking music through that territory so that it's been covered, and now moving into the modern world, we incorporate, you know, as we become aware of the whole world, you know, we have all the cultures of the world to draw from in our color palette, and we also have the wonderful new landscapes of synthesized sound and keyboards and computers and software. So literally, it's really coming down to the individual, and that's maybe what you're sensing in that complete freedom of expression.
Absolutely. I have no doubt of that. I agree.
And so everybody can, and this is what we say too, I mean, this is drawing a correlation between art, music, and spirit, and how you, each of us today, have the wonderful liberty of creating our own path to realization.
And as long, you know, and those paths that you create, is, if they're not ones of destruction, then they're fully freedoms of expression that continue to grow. You know, a lot of people express in different ways, of course.
Yeah, I mean, there is a, we do, once we dismantle personality, within the greater individual, which is set free, there still are certain flavors of experience and tendencies of that soul. They still embody certain aspects of spirit. They're, you know, kind of a seasoning or, a, you know, just the flavor of God.
Maturing.
And we move, we can enjoy all these colors, and you have to... One thing you have to do is not be afraid to, well, one thing, not be afraid to try something new, and also just look at it as an ongoing experiment. You know, one thing that really frees is when you stop seeking an end. Let me say that again. One thing that really frees is when you stop seeking an end. Because, you know, then it removes future and puts you in the present. You know, in Zen we first can see the past, and it makes sense to us to let go of the past, but then we often also have this constant drive towards something in the future, as if all is not well, but in fact all is well.
In fact, that's a good point, because that ties in well with what we had spoken with days ago about the answer always being found in the question. You know, because what that does is when you ask a question, you can look at it and you'll, the answer is going to be there. It'll be in your question. You'll know it. So you got to go within.
Yeah.
And so whenever you ask a question, you know, you'll know what the answer is by looking at that question. That's you know, I know that's a little bit unusual for some to look at it that way, but to some of you out there, you're going to get that exactly.
Yeah, that's part of the quest, is that you see the question that arises within you, and then you trace it back, so you yourself, then it's not in anybody else's hands. You yourself have the power to trace back your own questions. You can see a question arising, you go, well, why this, why that? And then when you realize, yes, I am asking that question, I am seeking that information, then you can see what gives rise to that.
Sure. Well, you can actually look at the question. Like, let's say, where am I, or the question can be, when am I going to have money? There's a good one, pretty generic, pretty general. Many people ask it. Well, if you guys, whoever asked that question, they can find what I'm saying is the answer in that question. That very question.
Yeah, so there, you can look
now
at
it. Now, I break it down to the first word, when.
so that then...
So they have an expectation, right?
They
have a future desire.
Good point.
You see what I mean? You look at all down and you break it down and you analyze that. You can go as deep as you want, folks, but in the end, you will find your answer to your question. It's really simple, but it takes a little bit of effort. That's where I lose a lot of people, and I've often lost myself in that effort.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is to just get that space of where you can observe yourself, you know, without judging it. You just simply see what arises within you. I think a lot of people in a normal education will get to the point of where they know a lot of things, but they have yet to know themselves, and so sometimes what they know will compel them forward in this way and that way and this way and that way, and they don't realize that, well, these compulsions don't have to be driving you, that you can be free of those impulses and see the whole landscape and consciously make the choice in alignment with what you feel in your center, in your own heart. That's having the courage to follow your heart and follow your dreams and to walk that way in the world.
Well, yeah. Otherwise, you're just a ping pong ball on a ping pong machine. Really?
Yeah.
And, you know, funny, because when you're that ping pong ball, somebody else can hit the lever, and it's like putting thoughts, because a mind that's closed can very, believe it or not, they don't have closed minds. You think they do, but they don't, because what often happens is those minds can interpret and immediately make any conclusion based upon that closed mind. In other words, these closed mind people can have thoughts inserted into their mind by things that they magnetize to them. You know, it's a weird way of...
it becomes a trap.
It becomes a trap, and not only is it a trap of your own making, but you continuously bring in those entities, those energies that you are sending out. And so you get into this ping pong ball mode. You become actually a little ball. You're all tight. Your DNA is all tight. Your system's all tight, and you're banging around, reacting to everything, and somebody else is pulling your triggers.
Oh boy. Yeah, I mean that's a scary way to live, you know, when you don't have control over any of your own behaviors, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shocker too, you know, if you haven't realized it yet, and then you suddenly get that awakening where you realize that's a shocker. That's a heavy, can be a heavy blow. It takes a while to come to terms with that fact, that the magnitude of it, how big a deal it is, and how all pervasive it is, and how it's been there probably since the beginning of your life. Oh, wow, what do I do now? Holy crap, is this true? You know, and then you it's shattering. It cracks your whole former view of life when you get that space and finally see that isn't all there is. It's so immense that what you were experiencing is but a blade of grass drop in the ocean.
God, and it all comes down to really choice. Choice, whatever you want to look at it. You know?
Zen way.
You got to make your own choices. Zen way. Then wait.
Or those choices actually,
then wait.
In some ways, are made for you.
Then wait. You gotta meditate so that you have that space. Then wait.
Yeah.
You never know in this world what's coming next. We were just speaking a little while ago, Don and I, this morning, about how, you know, it's so great not to have a perspective. Like, it sounds strange at first to get used to it, but when you have a perspective, just one way of looking at things, it really ties your hands. And we were talking about how you can go over all the perspectives and make that part of the whole of who you are so that you, with alertness and awareness, can meet each new moment.
Yeah, with that point of view. You get locked into a point of view, and really, let's look at that sentence, point. That's where you are. And you've limited yourself to a point. And it really, in the big scheme of things, that point's going nowhere. It's just one reflective aspect. And if you want to take on more than that and incorporate it within your sphere, within your perceptive sphere, it can become really liberating.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't give up anything. You understand the points of views.
Yeah, which goes into what Doug and I were talking about, and you know, yeah, we reference our conversations, but we're always at it. You know, we're in here in the studio doing the radio here at BBS Radio, but we're also working on ourselves and sharing with each other and trying to keep moving forward and changing and growing and experience ourselves as well. And much of what we're saying and we talk about has been really in our world. We're really laying it bare so you can see what we're going through. So hopefully it can help you with what you're going through, because this is life, and life encompasses many feelings, many emotions, many ways of looking at things, and we've got to be able to air it all out and deal with it honestly and straightforwardly.
Life is intimate, believe it or not, and you know, everything and every one of us is an intimate expression. But you know, that intimacy is one that goes back, because that expression is felt by all in one sense or another. And it, you know, as you start to look at people around you as not being anything separate from you, just at least start looking at them as whatever you do is going to affect this person.
Yeah,
that's where you start, because eventually there's the distinction in your mind kind of goes away. Yeah, you can see the shapes, but it starts to get more distant. You start to have a very, it's not detachment, it's more understanding, gratitude, love. I'm rambling.
Yeah, I mean, also it's not holding that, you going back to that point of view in a moment. I'll get to what I was referring to with Doug earlier, but when we see, we can't bring the past into how we view each other. You know, it's such a harmful thing to take each other for granted. You know, we can't look at each other like, yeah, I see you every day. You get kind of numb, you get kind of in the habit, and you hardly even notice each other. So part of this that goes with what Don was saying is how each time you see somebody, you got to realize it's a human being. It's a divine entity. It's God, him, her, or whoever, self, and bury it right before your eyes, shimmering through those eyes. That is the divine. And when we see each other that way, we can't possibly take it for granted. And when we see the divine, we see the new, and we don't bring the old in and box each other into these expectations. I mean, a huge part of the clearing that's going on right now has to go on in the realm of relationship and of clearing these blockages and making it open and safe to communicate all these things and get it out in the open and express our feelings and release the pain and find new ways to communicate that help each other grow and expand. And going back, and one of the ways is to release that point of view, and that point of view, another name for it, is ego. And this is what I was talking with Doug the other day, and we were going over how ego focuses down. It takes the concepts and shoots a laser beam in a limiting fashion, where when you rise into the higher vibrations and the higher consciousness, where you dismantle that point of view, you no longer see yourself context bound or even body bound. You see yourself as a being in the universe, and you know your place in that universe. Then you can go through what used to be the ego. It's no longer the ego, but it's a pathway of expression. It's almost like a keyboard of many colors, where you can express yourself through all the old way that you had in your mind. The best way the universe wants to use you to express that, it will choose itself. So in a way, you're like a cosmic paintbrush. Yes, indeed, you're like a cosmic paintbrush. Hello out there, my friend. You're like a cosmic paintbrush. Welcome to the show.
Good to have you finally with us, folks.
Yeah. Zen Ways is the show, and usually this is Christopher Morris here on the mic, and I'm here with a guest, Don Newsom.
Just a guest.
And he's filling in for the big man, Douglas, who's flying around.
Yeah, having fun.
Out in L.A. I hope he's got his shades with him. We left him at the Chico Airport this morning, and he looked good to go, ready for adventure. So we send him a Zen Ways
salute. No relation to the old one.
That was pretty good. And we're talking today from Paradise, California, BBS Radio Studio Number 2.
You know, folks, fast track, fast track. Everybody's on the fast track. If you want to be on the fast track to awakening, just intend for it to be so and allow it to be so and ask for it. Hey, we're here, all of us here at BBS Radio. I would have to say we're on the fast track. They put us on a train, and the thing's going a million miles per hour, but we love it. We're in total control of it, but it's going fast, and we love it. So if you're on that train with us, and or any train ahead of us, behind us, or next to us, welcome aboard.
Whee-wee! Whoa.
Should I interrupt myself to get the phone?
Is it one of your phones, or is it
I don't know. Phone? Let's find out.
All right. Let's see who it is. Throw them on if they're so inclined. Why not? You never know who's going to call BBS Studios. Could be someone from India. Could be someone from Europe. Could be someone from Africa or South America. We have listeners from all over
number.
The world. Wow, this time it was...
I've never had a wrong phone
well,
number.
You should have got him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have.
And it was a young fellow.
Should have put him on anyway.
Well, he actually called me on my private line.
Maybe it was the right number.
Maybe.
Yeah, you never know. Even someone calling you like that could be a bizarre synchronicity, you know.
Everything's a synchronicity when you finally get it. Really, it is. Oh, yeah, you know, even though you may want to play the ping pong ball and, you know, dart here and there, and believe me, it gets to be a bigger and bigger game, you know, but eventually when you climb outside of that, it becomes a whole new game.
Yeah.
The games don't stop, folks.
It is a game.
That's the beauty of creation and what you're a part of. So
yeah, and you remember that. If you look at life as that game, you know, almost like you're...
It's curiosity. You got to remember the Creator's curious and curious...
And playful.
And playful, and that has a certain power to it. And that power ends up being creative, experimental.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes when you see what appears, you know, you take these synchronicities, and when you get used to them, they're not no longer even in that old way of thinking, oh yeah, look at that, that's kind of coincidental, that must mean something. But you can just see it as a language on its own in a different way. It's almost like, you know, as Don calls the Creator, I like that way of putting it, the Creator or Source. It's almost like Source is just like showing you it's there, because, you know, the odds of some of these things coming together are, you know, millions and millions to one, and there they are, and just sometimes in just such a perfect way, you know, as one of my teachers, Shabda, used to tell me, you know, you can read license plates, you can read the animals, you can read, you know, anything that, you can basically really look at anything right in front of your face right now, and it's telling you exactly what you need to know, and it's always telling you what you need to know. That's illustrative of sometimes what they say in Zen, is that Zen is the open secret.
See, and how true that is, that yes. I thought about that for quite some time, because what that really says to me is that it's all here, always has been, all the time.
Yeah, in that's another way of looking at the Zen phrase, when the student is ready, the master will come.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's very literal that, you know, some dude with a beard walks up, starts speaking cryptically to you. But other times it can be referred to this very phenomenon that life brings you exactly what you need to learn exactly the lesson that you're meant to be working on.
It's a parable.
Yeah?
You can almost look at the dimensions as a parable. Because
the myth of your own life,
sure,
the myth of your experience.
Well, it becomes in a form it is a myth. Yes, it's an illusion, but it's a choice. It's a wonderful experience.
And myth is kind of looking at it in a new way, not in an old way of thinking. A myth that is like the deeper truth behind the surface truth.
Yeah.
You know, that exists on its own in the more fluid planes, the undercurrent, and this is many of the symbols that we see, even like the yin yang or the om symbol, or, you know, they say so much more than a zillion words. You know, they're just pointing you to this phenomenon, this experiential thing, this very real thing that you can experience for yourself. You know, so you know, like we're saying, you got to keep. Take these things and experiment for yourself and try it out, because it's just simply a matter of taking the time to do it and making it a priority. You know, otherwise, you know, don't be whining or don't be bitching about what's going on if you're not taking the time to incorporate some of these tools, which are becoming readily available all over the place to clean your house and have a good life.
Yeah. Don't get angry. Start listening.
Yeah.
Or else.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know.
Zen way.
Zen way. Zen way. Zen way. Welcome to the astral plane. Zen way. Let's take you there today.
Who's getting off the train?
Who's getting off the train? Zen way. Yeah, yeah. Take you to the astral plane on a journey through the stars. You're already there anyway, and we're just gonna say today on Zen Way.
We do, folks. We do concert hit weddings.
Yeah.
And we have done
a
few funerals.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. Try to send you off in a good way, back out in outer space. I know you're not far. You're right next to the nearest star.
No, folks, we don't do the shows. The kids shows anymore, any at the circus, so you won't find
them. No, you'll just have to catch us at the right time and place at karaoke, either in Paradise, California some night.
Some night you can catch us there. We might, might.
Or maybe Chico some night. We'll sing a few.
We've even been to some places that we were the only ones there for hours. And there was somebody singing. And it was really quite nice.
Yeah.
But,
well, there you have it. Karaoke.
That's.
Why wait? Zen
Way. Why
wait?
Enjoy karaoke in Paradise, California.
Zen. Karaoke level singing today. Hey, people seem to like that kind of thing, you know, American Idol or whatever. That's
they do around
like
here, don't they? Yeah. I haven't karaoke since college. And then,
Yeah, people dig it. That's a big
thing.
They
do. They love it here.
Northern California, karaoke. It's not just like a hangout kind of a thing. It's like you're the performers for the evening. Step up. You have whole crowds dancing to you, singing Mac the Knife. I blew the lights out in Paradise singing Mac the Knife. I do, and they're all dancing. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. All righty. I guess it's enough of me. But, you know, tunes like that, it's strange, you know, that Zen Ways tune I just came up with today or whatever. And some of these tunes kind of show you the the pulsing way that the energy is just below the surface. I mean, how can we describe this? We talk about the Om, or we talk about the vibration, you know, and sometimes when you hear somebody do the Om meditation, you know, people usually get like a serious expression. They're like, oh, I mean, they don't really know what's going on. But what you're really doing is you're sending vibrations into your whole energy field. And one of the best ways is you got to focus up, kind of up behind the nasal cavity, because when you resonate the Om vibration there, it really rattles your whole skeletal structure. It rattles things right from the core all the way out. So it's like, Om. One of the most quickest and direct ways to raise your energy vibration, you know. So don't just blow this off as it's something I'm just going through. This is a real serious, effective, powerful, straightforward, cut to the chase kind of method. This Om meditation. Check it out. I'll do it again. Om. Vibration, and you get going with that vibration, this leaves the possibility or the door open for something magical to occur, because the Om vibration is not just a static vibration. There even comes up a personality, or a character, flavor of existence, an entity that emerges from that is an expression of the Creator. So it's not just Om, it's like ah. It takes on this deeper part of feeling of, you know, of a humanity, of this real juicy universal heartbeat and pulse. So it's not just Om, but Om, and it's saying how much I love each and every one of you, and the universe is aware of every single one of you, and it's always there just waiting for you to pay attention, to open your eyes, to open your heart. It's always there all around you.
Tickets are available to your local Ticketmaster. And I'd also like to suggest that you come out and do the karaoke in Paradise, California. Yeah. They certainly need you.
Yeah, yeah. New blood injected into the mainstream. So what else is going on, Zen, like Big Don?
Well, of course, it's been unusual here for the last wonderful last few weeks.
Yeah.
My family's on holiday, so that's interesting. Everything seems to be beautiful out here where we are. It's hotter. I'm sure a lot in the audience are starting to realize a fact. Okay, I hate using that word, but let's just leave it at that. That things are... And no matter where they are, even though they might be a little wetter, or a lot wetter, I would have to say that many people are starting to realize things are definitely hotter. It doesn't matter where they are in the world. Now, I get a lot of emails, and I read a lot, and I understand what they're telling you that phenomena is, but here's the bottom line, folks. Across the earth, it's getting hotter. What's that mean? Well, it's cool because everything's becoming very climatic. It's coming to a very, what do you call that? More of a tropical climate, and I think that's going to take place worldwide, and this is just the initial stages of that transformation. So if you look at it in that perspective, as just a wonderful blossoming of Earth, yeah. You know, things might go a lot easier on her and you.
Well, heat tends to make you slow down.
Well, it does. And just look at the sun as a gift, because what's going on is you're getting a gift. This sun is sending a lot more information now than it ever has in the past. And really, it's sending you information. If you let it come in the top of your head, and you get more, you know, I'm not going to say go out there and get a lot of sun, but I'll tell you, I think a lot of what they talk about, sun, suntan, sun lotion, all this, protect yourself, stay out of the sun.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little eerie, folks. And yeah. Now that we have diseases from kids that can't even go in the sun because, well, again, I don't want to go into it, but get out there, get a little sun. Let those information packets from this awesome amount of energy that's coming in from the sun, because that's really the base control where a lot of this information is then sent in a vibration easy enough for you as a physical being to handle. And so soak it up, enjoy it, get to know yourself, go within, Zen ways.
That's important. The sun really is. You know, that might be a new concept for some, but I believe a lot of my own ascension was directly fostered by the light of the sun, by the energy of the sun. And it's funny, you're talking about all that, and you said it really, really lightly there, but it seems almost like a conspiracy against the sun.
Funny, because from what I've read, it is. It reads like one.
Because the sun's always like portrayed sinister.
Remember now, it reads like one, and the cancer, and how when cancer was formed, and they were very gone, skin cancer. And remember when skin cancer started coming out? And they went nuts. Wow! The mole, check the moles, cut them off, do all this. Well, anyways, and the fear manifested itself again, and it's a beautiful thing, but certainly, folks, there are, again, it comes back to this. What point of view do you have, and are you viewing it in such a small ping-pong table that other forces can then manipulate your actions? You become a reacting board, and they're working on you, and they're using you. It's just, sun's the same way. Everything what you thought is proper, you might want to just look at it again. It might very well be. But I'm just saying, just take a look at everything. And it doesn't take anything but 1 second to mentally go through everything every now and again and really say, you know, am I being told the truth or is there real truth behind all this?
Yeah. I mean, the sun's a perfect place. You would be told that in most Western societies,
you know,
even think
you
that way
with
Lucifer.
But this is my theory. You get a sunburn because your body can't handle that much energy at once, folks. Okay.
Yeah.
And some people's skin are a little more sensitive than others, and it varies depending on.
Well, just like different plants need different amounts of sun and water,
right.
So people too. Some need more sun, some need
less.
But you just match up with what you feel.
What
you with
you
your sense.
Balance in all things, and that again is balance in absorbing that energy for you. So, you don't want to go out and overbalance on anything because it's going to burn you. That's an old saying, but even the sun, there's so much. So there's, but you got. I truly believe in my heart. You got to suck up some of that energy. Just feel God sending information to you through the top of your etheric and emotional bodies, all the way into your physical body, and just you don't have to be a master and blank out your mind if you're no good at that.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a guru that is going places in his mind and seeing in the astral plane. That's unnecessary. I think you'll eventually, what your intent and your abilities, what you agreed to be here with, will magnify, and eventually all will be recognized and understood. Just get a little sun. What am I saying? I'm babbling again.
Babbling once again. Yeah, I think you just have, what you're saying is, you just have to accept that it's possible in your world, and it will be. That's why everybody can do it.
To make
that connection and that aspect of reaching. I guess I was thinking of that part of where you said that you have to reach up to the sun,
and the other thing. And while the sun's floating down, you'll see the colors through your eyelids. You'll see the yellow streaming down. Just imagine it being focused into your head. That's it.
Yeah, and when you really see, there's like a whole bunch of stuff going on there. There's like the sun, and there's like almost emissaries of the sun, which are aspects of the sun, yet also have a individualized flavor that also reach out to help facilitate the messages of the sun. And, you know, just look at our own history. There's echoes of where people related much more in the sun, even the beginning of what we consider modern history in Egypt. Just look at how much the sun was a part of their life and how they showed that the sun had embodied aspects, had a particular flavor of character, of being, or, you know, that it was so much a part of their life. Are all these stone monuments that are designed like Stonehenge lined up with the sequences of the sun, and, you know, if you catch it at the right time, it comes through in this way and that way, and also cycles of the moon, too, to some extent. But, yeah, you reconsider that it's just a different way of opening up. It's not, you know, the sun isn't going to be like just another person. Say, hey, what's up? I'm the sun. You know, maybe in your heart it might happen, but, you know,
think of the sun as Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Just sending his love and information.
Our Father who art in heaven, in a way.
Well,
you know,
the sun is
a
sub-logos or a god in its own way. It loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And it's just part of this wonderful array.
And just consider in the first place the balance that has to be for us to be here, the balance between the sun and the earth and the moon and everything that fosters life on the earth, that, you know, if anything really got out of control, we'd burn right up in no time. I mean, it's a perfect balance right now. In the subtleties of the shift, I mean, it's really a magnificent feat to edge everybody up in the vibration level.
The sun is at the center of the creation in the solar system.
Right.
Therefore, you can then jump to a fairly okay or a reasonable guess or thought that, if that is so, then it was also the mastermind behind this area, and it's the father of it, and it created it, and it's really its intention formed this particular solar system. So it really involves, and is an aspect of, and involves the creators of this solar system.
Yeah, and like going along those lines, the planets and the moons are like the sun's ideas, that magnetic force of creation. And that's why when we tune into creativity and we become like an artist or even just we make something that wasn't there before, we're taking on a similarity to the sun or to the creator or to the creative forces. That's how we can tune in and learn what it is from their perspective to some extent, is to do like they do and create. Make something new, bring something forth to the world. So just as the sun creates planets and moons, we can create expressions of our own, the heart and song, and the beauty that we see in the existence. Indeed.
That was beautiful. I love listening to you speak.
Well, thank you. Speaking was something I kind of found myself doing as I opened up my energy centers. Next thing you know, my mouth kind of started going ba-ba-dee-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da- And what a good place, Paradise, California. What were you saying about has a correlation to the throat chakra of North America, or Mount Shasta and all that?
Of course, the area here, working all the way through California. This part of North America is really a chakra system, and we are a part of that throat chakra right here.
Yeah. Yakety-yak.
Which means we're vocal, folks. We like to communicate with you, the listener, and we have a love for it. So that's why we're here.
It happens naturally. It really, all this was a very organic creation, sprung forth from inspiration from each of the individuals. So many individuals had their own inspiration, and it's just part of the creative process, the greater forces at work that brought us all together and continue to move us through realms of expression. Because even as we said before, what a freeing thing it is to remove the concept of end. So too, think even BBS Radio. It's an organically growing process. There is not going to be any end. We're going to continue bringing the messages in every possible way, and you'll see all kinds of forms in the future, and you never know what's going to happen. We're in Zen spaces, so we don't know what's going to happen, so how could you?
Well, I do know that this is, folks, this is how I feel. And I think those of us here feel the same thing. We could literally get on here with tears in our eyes saying that we love you. And that's really the emotion we feel for you. I know it sounds corny. You can dismiss it if you wish. But that's how we feel about you. And, there's going to be some interesting things as we gear up and vamp up and everything. We ride the wave. But in the end, our thoughts are always with you. So.
And that also, knowing that you have an audience, or knowing that you have somebody listening, or somebody looking, or somebody appreciating, really also fosters that creative spirit too. Because I often, feel out there to the audience, or in my writing, the readers, or I just think of what somebody might enjoy hearing or seeing, and I put that into my own expression too.
They're going to be able to see that soon, right?
What's that?
Well, we're going to set up a cam in here.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And remember, we're talking about that. And
yeah,
you're going to be able to see us in the studio, maybe just smiling mostly. Because you got to understand, we really are happy. We're going through our own journey. But inwardly, we're happy because we're able to communicate with you. And so.
There you have it.
There you have it. That's right. Zen ways.
So thank you for joining us today on Zen Ways.
It was a pleasure.
Zen Ways. Thank you for joining us on the show, Don Zen Ways, and being a guest. Zen Ways. We send our love to Doug wherever he is. Zen Ways.
We love you, Doug.
Oh, Doug.
We miss you.
Doug's
my favorite, folks.
Douglas Newsom.
He's on a trip to California.
He's on many trips.
And we miss him. He's a wonderful friend. It's great to be able to call my twin brother a friend, folks.
Thank you for joining us on Zen Ways.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.